Fanning the flame. So we flame. It's indeed hot here this morning. We're fanning the flame. There's some more, I think there's still some of those cards at the back there. If you haven't received any of them, take them with you. It's just a reminder to ask yourself these questions from time to time. Because I do feel that we sometimes neglect these. But again, just to recap on our series, we've been talking about a couple of things. We started with the power of corporate prayer. And then we went on to talk about worship last week. This morning we'll be talking about witnessing. And the next week, Carl will be mentioning about the word, the power of the word. And so I want to encourage you, download those if you haven't listened to that. Just allow the Lord to stir that up inside of you. And talking about stirring up, I honestly believe that God has stirred up a lot of things in the spiritual realm over the last days, actually yesterday as well. With, I don't know, some of you have been following what's happening in South Africa and the biggest prayer gathering in Africa that has taken place just now in Africa. People, that's something that some of us will not see again in our lifetime. That is a memorial stone that you have to watch and see what God is about to do. We haven't even seen the power of God moving yet. That is just, God just started to get people together. And we'll see the outcome of that in due course. But we're continuing this morning on the series. And I want to say up front that I'm not going to preach. So can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
I'm going to try not to. Vincent was in the first service. There's a part of me that kicks in the moment I'm in flowing. Then it's like, oh, then the pastor comes back to me, and then so can I literally rephrase that? I'm gonna try and not preach, because that's not my intention this morning. Purely to preach, although we're actually gonna get back to the word, and I just want to make sure that we discover again the power of the word as such, not the power of my opinion, not the power of my preaching, but the power of the word. That Christ's word is sufficient this morning. And lately, there's a scripture I discovered in Jeremiah, I think 16 or 17. Anyway, that says, when I discovered your word, Jeremiah wrote it this way. I never saw that one. But he said, when I discovered your word, I devoured them. It was like my joy and my heart's delight. And then there's a comma and it says, for I bear your name. I love that scripture. I devoured your word, Lord, because it's my heart's delight. And I meditate upon it. It's like a sweet. I think about that. Lately about that scripture, but I want to trust the Lord this morning that His word is sufficient this morning, that you would take it for face value and that it will establish something in your life. But saying that, we'll be continuing on John 14 verse 16, but we're going to do it differently. Can I ask Thomas and Philip to come to the front, please? Now, if your name is Philip in the crowd, just sit down. There's a specific Philip here this morning that we appointed. I just want to give you some background. Personally, that's one of my, I always say one of my favorites, but this is one of my favorites, chapters. John 14 and 15 is also true because that's about the vine. 16 is beautiful because it's about the Holy Spirit. 17, Jesus talks about being one. He prays that beautiful prayer, and then he goes on where he's, when he's arrested and all of that. But I want to give you some context and background for what's happening here. And we're not going to read from that, actually. We're just going to spend some time around the fire, because that's what I believe what happened there is when Jesus sat with his disciples intimately having a conversation. And if you look at that, you'll see that Jesus actually would just made the prediction or the prophecy of saying that Peter would deny him. They already had the last meal. And now this tense is building up, because there's a lot of things that's about to happen after this. Jesus is about to be arrested. And think about that. Jesus knows about all of this. I want you to see this. Jesus knows that they are about to scatter once he's arrested. Yet he's taking the time to sit down with them and to assure them of his presence and of his, the fact that he will be with him. Think about that for a moment. If you know that that guy, or whoever, I won't point. Dangerous to point. If you know about a good friend, but you know he's got something against you, in the sense of he's not double-minded, but he's not honest with you, and he's gossiping behind your back, and probably in a day he will deny you, and he will say, no, I don't know you, but you know that, but he doesn't know that you know. just interesting, how would we respond and how would we treat that person? Would we still have a cup of coffee with him and just share our heart with that? I don't think so. Sometimes we're like, oh, no, I'm not going to open up my heart to this person because he's anyway going to stab me in the back. But anyway, Jesus goes to that place of transparency and vulnerability. And that's where it's so beautiful, because even despite their weaknesses and their faults, Jesus would take them to that place where he needs to assure them of his comfort and presence, all of it, despite all of that's about to happen. So there's ups and downs in this whole chapter or in this whole story that's busy unfolding. He's going to be arrested, then they're going to put him in front of Pilate, then he's going to be crucified. So there's a lot of emotional ups and downs. Disappointment, then he's going to die. And I remember up till that time, they heard about Jesus, but they didn't semi kind of believe it yet. And then after 3 days of mourning, Jesus would rise up, and then they will be glad. And the first thing, oh, they've seen a ghost, or what's happening here? And then they realize this is Christ. And then he would spend a few more days with them, and then he would need to go. Talk about that, that's happening here with him. So here's the story, busy unfolding, and I just want us to sit down there for a moment and just picture yourself. We had a little fire here that's supposed to be a breast of lamb. It's small, but I don't know whether they had fish on the fire. Okay. Just picture that for yourself, because I believe that's honestly how Jesus often had a conversation with his disciples. Jesus didn't have a box like we had, the church box, that we dress differently on a Sunday morning. We even talk differently and we act differently, and some of us are even more friendly on a Sunday than in the week. But anyway, and we greet people that we would not necessarily greet. No, that's not the truth here. I'm just joking. The reality is Jesus didn't have these boxes. He would, everyday life, just use this example, and then he would talk about that. And now I imagine them sitting around this fire, and then the time is coming or is closing in for them, and Jesus knows that. He already predicted that. So just sit back for a moment and just allow the Holy Spirit to take you to that place where Jesus was sitting with his disciples. Guys, I know you're afraid that I'm going away, but you shouldn't be afraid, because I'm going away and I actually go to my Father to prepare a room for you. And where my Father is, there are many rooms. If it wasn't the case, I wouldn't have told you that, but the way I prepare a room, once that's finished, I'll come back and I'll come and get you. But don't worry, you'll be okay here. I'm busy preparing the room, and I come back and you will know the way.
But Lord, how do we know where you are going? Show us the way.
Thomas, how long have I been with you and still ask me the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. If you know me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. My words are in the Father's words in me. Don't you understand it?
But Lord, just show us the Father. That will be sufficient for us.
Philip, how long have I been with you guys? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the, now you can't say that you haven't seen the Father anymore. My words are the words that the Father has given me. And I bear only the words that the Father has placed inside of me. The fact of the matter is, guys, if you love me, you obey my commandments. I'm going to say that again. Those who obey my commandments are the ones that really love me. But there's good news. I'm going to send you another one. The Advocate. The Holy Spirit. Only thing is, the world cannot receive him, because they do not recognize him and they're not looking out for him. Therefore, they cannot. But the fact of the matter is that he's here with us this morning. And in a short while, he will not just be with us, he will be in you guys. But you have to wait for that. You have to wait that it will take place. But he will come, and I tell you guys, he will come and he'll teach you about a lot of things. He will teach you about the words that I told you. He'll remind you in actual fact about every word that I spoke. He'll be the one that will convict the world of sin, judgment, and righteousness. But in a short while, I'll be away, and the one, the ruler of this age, is already on his way to come and bring destruction. But do not be afraid. I know you are afraid, guys. Do not grieve. Do not grieve, please. It's to your advantage that I go away. It's better for you that I go away so that the Holy Spirit can come and be your comforter and be the one that's with you every day and wherever you can go. But you need to have a desire for that. You need to wait for that. He will guide you. And I tell you what, He will not speak on His own authority. Whatever He hears from me is what He will speak. And He will reiterate and He will declare that to you, my truth. And He will give glory to the Father by bringing my words to you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Can we watch those two clips? I just want to give you some background here just as I prepare that. There are two video clips that I want to show you this morning. And it's just a story about, it's just the Bible, just been in a story there. But I want us to live, to allow the Holy Spirit to take us there. As I mentioned earlier on, I'm not going to preach. I promise you, I'm going to try not to preach. I'll probably share just a few words about my own life and my experience. Read a few scriptures, and we trust the Lord for the Holy Spirit to come upon every one of us here this morning. Maybe it's already there. Maybe it's already functioning in your life. I just trust the Holy Spirit just to gush forth out of your life in a fresh and a new way. Let's look at this.
You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation.
Kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done.
Forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Jacobs, der Ishmael, Kaifes, Emilka.
Wo ist der Kaifer? Und vorne muss man ausgerissen.
Now we can leave this place. Now spread his word.
Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Would you just, where you sit there, just give him permission. Say, Lord Jesus, yeah, just give him completely over to you, to him during this, the next few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, you are the same God that poured out your Holy Spirit upon those believers in the upper room, Lord. And as a result of that, Lord, we stand here this morning that we have received that, Lord. We have received the message, Lord, of Christ. Lord Jesus, I think about your last commandment to go out into the world and to preach this gospel, Lord. We are a result of the obedience of those that's gone before us. We are the fruit of a previous generation. We are the fruit of the obedience of somebody that walked before me. I am the fruit this morning of somebody that was willing to sacrifice. I am the fruit this morning, Father, of somebody that was willing to be obedient. And so every one of us this morning that's saying, Jesus is Lord. But we're not only the fruit, but also we are the seed this morning, Lord. We are the seed of the next generation, Lord. We are the seed of those that will come after us, Lord. Our lives, Lord, whether they live that in obedience to you, Lord, whether we give that up to you and say, Lord Jesus, have your way in my life, will become a seed. And maybe, Lord Jesus, when we die one day and generations after that, people will be able to say, we are the fruit of a previous generation. Oh Lord Jesus, our Holy Spirit, stir us up this morning. Fan up the flame that is burning inside of us. For the sake of your name and for the sake of your kingdom. In 2001, I woke up that Sunday morning and I was attending just another church service for myself. Or so I thought. What I've discovered is there is not such a thing as another Sunday. Not with God, at least. Maybe with men. But not with God. So I've gone through a rough patch in my life and I made some recommitments to the Lord. By the way, I've been serving him then for about 11 years. So I woke up that morning and I went to church, and that morning the pastor preached on a topic that I've never heard about before. He spoke about the sons of God. The sons of God. Growing up from a child of God to a son of God. I must admit, up to that time, the only thing I knew is children of God. We're all children of God. And I thought we're all just children and we all go happy and we're just going to go to heaven. But he started ministering and something stirred in my heart and God was ministering to me during this sermon. I remember he came and he walked just as I'm standing here, and he placed his hand upon my head and he said, Lord Jesus, make him a son of you. And God honored that prayer, but this morning I want to say to you, it's not about me. I don't want to point this finger at me at any given time. I just want to share some thoughts here this morning with you. Even at that stage, I didn't understand the difference between children and sons of God. And now, many years later, and even being a minister myself, I can honestly say to you, I understand it even more than ever before about two specific things that would distinguish us from becoming sons of God, or rather staying children of God. Is your availability and your responsibility. Maybe we can add more, but I want to keep it short this morning. Our availability. There are many children of God out there. Hear my heart this morning. It's not for me to judge whether your relationship with God was real or not. It's not for me. It's only the Lord that knows that. Your fruit will be evident. That's all I can say. And I can judge your fruit if I can say that. And I can talk about your fruit in accountability relationship. But there are many people of God, or many children of God, but they're not all available. And they're not all responsible. I want to ask you this question this morning. I want you to think about that. Can God trust you? Not can I trust you. Not can the church trust you. Not God. Can anybody else, a human being standing here, trust you? Can God trust you? When nobody else sees you, where you need to walk in faithfulness, where you become available and responsible. I only have girls, but if I had boys, and I always joke with that example, but I can't give them the keys of the car. They can't even drive or cut the grass, I want to say. You cannot expect to have responsibility if you're not available. Be willing to be tested. But I'm not here for that reason this morning. I'm not here. I'm just saying, throughout that sermon, it stirred my heart. And at that moment when that prayer was prayed, it is not something magical that happened. I think it just set something in motion that God started working in my heart. And nowadays, I can see that we still struggle with that, to get people to grow up from becoming children of God to a place of being a son in the house. And continuously we struggle with that, and continuously we can say a lot of things, but at the end of the day, it's your decision whether you want to remain a child of God, and you'll probably enter into heaven. Guess what? You'll have to grow up there. There's not an instant thing happening in heaven. Oh, now we suddenly, God will say, well, you still need to learn. You'll still need to, because we'll have responsibility in heaven. Guess that, right? Did you know that? You will assign certain responsibilities to us, but leave that there. And throughout that sermon, God stirred my heart, and then at the end of that sermon, that pastor came and he said, I want to make an invitation this morning for people that want to be baptized with this Holy Spirit. I want to say to you guys, I've never heard in my life up to that day that there's such a thing as baptism in the Holy Spirit. Maybe once or twice, but there wasn't any theological framework or connection with that. I only had one thing in my heart, as a desire. Desire to conform to the image of Christ, and a desire to move closer. I thank God, when I'm looking back today, that I didn't have any theological framework about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I honestly believe sometimes we have those boxes that we place God in, and it's even theological in a way as well. And just this morning, as we were preparing and we came here, I just sensed that God is saying this specifically, people that's disobedient with regards to the baptism that you are talking, but God is talking to you specifically about that, but your theological framework is prohibiting the Holy Spirit to move you to that place of obedience. A couple of weeks ago, I sat with a guy, one of our guys here in the congregation, and I said, just tell me where you are, because we've been seeing each other every now and then. I said, let's just sit down, let's just have a coffee and tell me where you are, tell me your background, tell me everything. And then he started testifying. When he was so beautiful, when he came to the place of his baptism, he said, Yaku, you know what happened? So I started following God and all of that. And we come to a place when I knew that I had to get baptized. And the Lord said this to me. He said, we're not moving on until we move past this point. So we drove all the way last year from Windhoek. And he was baptized by somebody specifically here. But that's so beautiful. We want to grow up. We want to become sons, but we don't want to move with the Lord. Say, Lord, this one, we don't talk about that. It's not negotiable. God says, okay, then just wait there. We'll come back. We'll come back later. There's somebody here that's hungry. Can we just move on here? And I know there's some of us this morning, specifically with regards to the baptism, that you'll have to make a decision that this is the day that you need to choose. God, I'm going to do that publicly, declare that you are my Lord. But more than that, I believe that God wants to baptize some of us here with His Spirit this morning, wants to give us the fullness. Some of us maybe has been in that place where we experienced that before, but we're not walking in that place. See, it's possible to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or flowing in being led by the Holy Spirit. And I cannot emphasize that more and more, and even in days when we live, that if we're going to continue with church without the Holy Spirit, we might as well close the doors. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be part of that. That's man-made religion. That's legalism. That's a lot of other things that is just, I don't want to even say boring, but it's dead. And we cannot claim to say, Jesus, you are Lord, without inviting the Holy Spirit and giving ourselves completely over to you and our whole lives. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures this morning, then I'm going to pray. I told you I'm not going to preach. But I'm going to show to you this morning quickly just two things. And I believe the Word has got enough power this morning to stir, to establish, and to build up this morning in your life. You see, the only thing that you need this morning is a desire. You don't need for this morning to understand the 20 hows of why I should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You can actually read about that. You can actually join our Bible school. There are a lot of places where you can actually. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying sometimes we argue with God. And our arguing with God is just actually an excuse for not or justifying ourselves so that we don't have to obey Him. So we put in all this, but what if this and this? I'm saying there's a place for that. But if that's standing in the place of obedience or prohibiting us from experiencing, then that is a stronghold in your mind. And we need to break it down. And it can be something else as well in our lives. But I trust the Holy Spirit that you would experience the fullness and that we would walk in that and we would be known as a church that is fully flowing in that. But not also, but the Holy Spirit's purpose is to help us to witness and take the message out there. I don't know if you listen to that clip. It's every time I listen to that, and I've been watching this now for a while, those last words of Jesus is just so heavy and so powerful. And it just... And that's exactly what He said. I know it's a video clip. It's just something that man made, but that's His words. Go into all the world. And when Peter came and said, one of the disciples, they said, we're going to pray. And now we're going out there. And us, we are the fruit of their obedience. Think about that. We can be the seed this morning only if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us completely and take control of our lives. Let's read these scriptures. Acts 8, verse 4 to 17. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention. There are two things I want us to see this morning before we read, and then we will conclude and pray. Salvation and baptism in the Holy Spirit, or with the Holy Spirit, is not the same experience. Can I say that again? Salvation and baptism with the Holy Spirit is not the same experience. I know we try and justify that. I know there are circles out there, theological people saying, I received the Holy Spirit when I came to Christ. We'll just read Word this morning. I'm not going to preach. Just by reading the Word, I'll show you. Secondly, that the promise of the Holy Spirit didn't cease to exist. That is still here this morning. That He is still here present this morning. Nothing magical, nothing funny. It's just the Holy Spirit. Just a desire. That's all that's needed. Let's read together. But the believers were scattered, preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left the victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. A man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke to him as the Great One, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. But now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Just take note of that. But now the people believed. What happened there? Salvation took place there. Can we just get an amen on that? Amen. Look what follows after salvation. Many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and great miracles Philip performed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, salvation, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit, not pray to receive Jesus. I want you to see that. They already received God's message, the message of Jesus that came to die for our sins. And then the apostles heard that, and they knew there's something else we have to do to equip them. We have to send them, Peter and John, so that they can pray for them, so that they can receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Thank God we are not on our own. We would have made such a mess of the kingdom of God and the message. That's why I don't know how can we work without the Holy Spirit. I'm at my best a mess, but I need the Holy Spirit this morning. Can we go to the next one, Ruan? Thank you. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. I think there's one more. And this is scripture just talking about the promise that's still valid today. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized." I love the order. Bible doesn't get it wrong. It's just us that's getting it wrong. If we had to write this Bible, we'd probably write, "Each of you must baptize, repent, and choose the Holy Spirit if you want him." That's optional. Let's start again. I'm sorry if I'm being sarcastic this morning. That's the word. We should just take it for it is the way it is. Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." That morning in 2001, I responded to that message, to that altar call. Didn't have any background, like I told you. Just had a desire. That's all. I said, "Lord Jesus, if that means more of you, I'm there." I might not understand all of that. I'll try and catch up later. I'll read up later. But if that's you right now, Lord, I'm not deferring that. I'm here, Lord Jesus. You know what? They started praying for us, and bam, it happened. The Spirit of God came upon me, started speaking in tongues. And I don't want to confine my experience or lay that down and say, yours should be like that. I know God does it differently, but at least we should all have a desire and move to a place of faith and say, "Lord Jesus, I want that." And it's different for some of us sometimes, but it all starts with one desire. That's one thing we should all have in common here this morning, a desire to be baptized, a desire to be fully filled with His Holy Spirit, for the sake of witnessing unto Christ and say, "Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom." I remember my grandmother, she passed away, and I know I get emotional about these things. She's played such a big role in my life, but I went back after that service. I said, "Oma, do you know, apparently I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit." And I still didn't understand the gift that I have received at that stage. For me, it was, yes, I speak in tongues, which I still don't understand as weird things, but I can figure that out later. I said, "But this happened." And they raved. They was like, "Wow, did that happen?" And I'm like, Why are you going on like that? It's just a prayer. Until I discovered what happened there, actually. And now I am this morning standing here before you this morning and say, if you can only discover the power of the Spirit working in your life, we'll choose Him more and more in every day. Close your eyes this morning. Got a couple of groups here this morning with us. I sense the Lord is saying. And the first group of people I want to pray for this morning is the group that's saying, Lord, I have a desire to be baptized with your Spirit. I truly have a desire to be filled with your Spirit. I want to yield to your Spirit. I want to give over to your Spirit. I want to give my whole life. And I'm talking about moving from a place of being a carnal Christian to a spiritful Christian. It's possible to be a child of God, but you have to come to a place of totally and utter surrender and say, Lord Jesus, I actually give yourself myself now to your Spirit to invade every part and being of me, to lead me. Romans 8 verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Lord Jesus, make me a son, but baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm ready to lay down my life. Lord Jesus, I'm ready to walk closer, to take that step closer. In Lord Jesus, I might not even understand what's happening here this morning, but Lord, I've got a desire and that's sufficient this morning for me to take that, make that first step. If that's you this morning in the house, I want to pray with you. I want you to leave your seat, come to the front before I announce the next group. I'm going to give you a minute or two before I start praying. Thank you, Jesus. Before I pray, I'm going to be frank and honest with you. And God is going to help us to get to that place. There may be some more people sitting here this morning. You're contemplating whether you should be here. The fact that you're contemplating is already a sign that you have to be here. Or at least the Spirit of God ministering to you. I'm going to draw a line in this in a moment. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying we'll have to learn to respond to the call of God whenever He says it's now. I'm tired and God is moving me to that place where we don't negotiate with God later. We don't, oh, later God, when we're back home, I'll just ask you there because I'm a shy. No, we don't do that. It's time that we establish the fear of the Lord in our lives again and we tremble at His word. So if God says, this is the moment, this is your time, then you respond to that. So I'm going to give you another minute or two and then I'm going to pray for these people here. Before we, thank you, Jesus. Now I assume the nine people that are standing here in the front are the ones that say this morning, Lord Jesus, baptize me or let me walk in that fullness. I would assume now that the rest of us either have been baptized, it leaves us with the only two options. You have been baptized with the Holy Spirit and you flow in that, or struggle to flow there, that's fine, you can remain seated, or seated, you don't have a desire. That's the only. So the first group I want to say this morning, going to ask yourself the question. Can we get that? Is it up? Yeah, you guys are. Quick, thank you. It's all right to say we've got the Holy Spirit and we've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you, do you walk and do you flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Do you flow in that place where you yield to the Holy Spirit? So while we're praying here, sorry, I want you just to do business with God just where you are. If you're not flowing in that place, I want to urge you and encourage you to come to that place where you flow again. Where you submit to the Holy Spirit again and say, Holy Spirit, I submit my life. I recognize that I've received you, that you're alive in me, but I have quenched you, Ephesians 4. Do not quench the Spirit of God. And we quench Him daily. I quench Him so often when just ignoring Him in my life as a believer. And I want to encourage you this morning, if that's you, I don't know the prayers you're praying. I don't know what's happening right now in your spirit. But I would encourage you that you repent of that and invite Him in just to move and direct you wherever you are for the furtherance of His kingdom. The last group, I believe, possibly you are not interested, and I say it with all due respect. Maybe you say to me, Jaco, I do not understand this. This is not ready. I'm not ready for that. My brother or sister, I bless you. I bless you honestly. And I pray that God will move you to that place where you will see more of that and you'll experience that. I can only share with you this morning from what I've experienced. And Jesus said, freely I give and freely I want to give. And I want to give to each and everyone. But I also know that we have to have the respect for where people are with God. I want to encourage you, keep on seeking God, because you will find Him eventually. You will see more of Him, but keep on seeking. Father, we thank you for everyone standing here. Can I have some of the leaders here? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what you're about to do here this morning. Father, we thank you that it is not me that's baptizing them, but it's your Spirit. Don't pray yet. I just want to quickly say a couple of words before we start praying for these people. Father, I thank you. It's not me praying, but it's you that's praying, that's baptizing this morning, Father. And Father, the gift that you are about to bestow, the infilling of your Spirit, Father, is not from me, it's not from man, but it's from you, Father. It's a fullness, Lord, that you want to bestow upon each and everyone. And Father, we thank you. We're not here for experiences. We're here for a meeting, Lord. We're not here for highs and lows, Lord. We're here to meet with you, Lord. Father, that's not based our... What we're about to experience is not based upon goosebumps and emotions and upon people that's specifically praying for us, but it's purely our prayer request is directed at you, Holy Spirit, and say, follow us with you. I want you to see in the front, just look at me for a moment. I want you just to remind you, maybe that's your first time, so I'll just run through that quickly. God says that He gives His Spirit to those who obey Him. Now, we all make a mistake. We're all weak. We all have sinned, and we all are going to sin again. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a pattern of disobedience. Maybe there's something that God is showing you. You need to break with that. You need to repent of that. You need to stop with that. That's why I want to give you, before we pray, just a moment. Just a Lord Jesus, I bring that to you. If there's something, I just want to give you the opportunity so that you have it, so that that wouldn't cause a blockage. If that is out of the way, that's our part. Then we give that unto the Lord. There's one more part. Sorry. You need to believe. I cannot give that to you unless you believe. And faith happens like this. The Lord Jesus says, if a son asks his father for a fish, would he give him a snake or a stone? He wouldn't. How much more would the Holy Spirit, the Father, give to you the Holy Spirit? How much more? I often think about that. It makes it actually easy. He used such a simple example, and he says, how much more will I give to you? It's not because you're special, because I am a father. Hear me this morning. It's not because you and I am so special, with all due respect and love for every person. Because He's a Father, He's a good Father that wants to give His Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. Say, Fee, you want it? Yeah, that's my Holy Spirit. Take that.